So the big idea, I think, that we're going to take a look at is that God's plan for you and me is to be reconciled with us and to restore a relationship with us that is ever deepening and growing. To introduce this idea, I'd like to just provide a little clip for you to hear as part of our idea of reconciliation.
It's been a while since we talked. That's the way it is with your kids, though, right? You never talk as much as you'd like. Used to. They'd hang on every word, every story, every joke, every little song. We had some times. Some amazing times. But then they got a little older, a little wiser, is how one of them put it. And he said he knew he didn't know everything, but he knew enough to know that my ways, my values, my philosophies on life were a little too, well, basically they wanted their freedom. They're my kids. I gave them what they wanted. Little by little, I watched them change. Push back against the things I taught them, lose heart. You know, they tried so hard to steer clear of me. I wanted nothing more than to have things right between us. So I kept doing things. Sent letters, called, left voicemail. I even sent messages through friends. Nothing. No response. Whether it was that they thought the distance between us was too great, or they were ashamed. You know, it really doesn't matter. You know, when they were little, I used to tell them over and over again, I love you, no matter what. Got to be a thing between us. I would say, I love you, and they'd finish it, no matter what. They heard it so often that sometimes they just roll their eyes when I said it. But I wanted to make it so clear to them that there was nothing they could do to make me stop loving them. And that thing I said, it's never stopped being true. So I'm packing up and I'm going to them. Not bringing any presents. Just a gift of making things right. There's nothing that'll separate me from my kids. Not the past, not the future. Nothing. Nothing. I'm forgetting about all the stuff in the past. And the relationship we used to have? Well, we're going to have a new relationship. After this trip, things will never be the same with us. That's a good thing. New beginnings. That's what I'm all about. That's my plan for this Christmas. A new beginning with my kids.
Great picture of the father love that God has for us, about inviting us to be part of his family, inviting us back regardless. I love you. Do you remember the line? No matter what. I love you. He just wants to make things right with his kids. Done everything that he thought he could do. You know, this season is something that reminds us of God's love and his desire to be reconciled to you and me. Wherever we've been, no matter what, God wants to be reconciled with you and me. This is how God loves us. And yet, like the picture, sometimes things happen in family. Here we saw an example of a father taking initiative to love and try to make things right with his family, with his kids. And I think in this Advent season, this time of waiting and reflecting, it can be not only an opportunity to re-engage in our relationship with God, because we'll find reconciliation with him, it's being offered, but also there's the possibility of being reconciled with people who maybe we've been estranged with. If you've been in the family very long, you probably have some relatives that you may have strained relationships with. I certainly have, and it can be a time also where, like we see in this little drama, that we can make an offer to repair and restore. So it's a great season for us if we reflect on maybe, again, what it is God is showing to us. Is God giving us a welcome home to him, or is he wanting us to extend that welcome to others? I want to just reflect on some things from last week, which was talking about the issue of grace and how important that is to this subject of reconciliation as well. It, our attitudes, if we are grace-filled, can produce reconciliation. The first thing that I found from last week that I'd like to remind us of is that religious determination and the need to be right all the time becomes wearisome in relationships. And particularly because if a person feels that they have to be right all the time, they get angry and bitter and full of pride. Can you see how that could stop an effort, could stop you from making an effort? If you feel like you are right and have to be right, you might have even a struggle to be reconciled. A second idea is it's hard to be right with your neighbor or friend or relative when the first response that they get is one of correction and a tone of superiority. Again, we need to be gracious people for reconciliation to occur, and humble as well. And Advent gives us that opportunity to do that as well. The third thing from last week is that grace makes room for people and gives them space to come near, space to experience love, even if they have a different perspective than we do. Often it's perspectives that get in the way. Differences sometimes really matter to us, but they don't have to break relationship. They don't have to break relationship. So those are some thoughts from last week. Let's continue then again in this week and take a look at the gift of reconciliation, this gift of love that God is preparing for you and for me to experience. It says, we love because he first loved us. This is God's overture of love. God wished to become part of our lives. He initiated a relationship with us first. That's a basic tenet of the Christian faith. You find that even in the heralding of John the Baptist. John the Baptist was sent to proclaim the coming of Jesus Christ. He was prophesied in the Old Testament to be the one who would go before Jesus. And in Luke's gospel, it's got a fascinating read about his ministry. Let's see if I can get to that text. Many of the people of Israel will he bring back to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord, that is Christ, in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. This is what God was doing in even the herald of Jesus Christ, John the Baptist. He was pre-programming history to give this offer of reconciliation. And you can see it not only is intended to affect a relationship with our Godward relationship, but even the fathers and the children. It's expected to affect and make right relationships, even family relationships. Then there's another passage that talks about this overture of God. In Colossians chapter 1, verses 19 through 20, it reads, "For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, that is Christ, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on the earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross." So here we are with God working through his Son Jesus Christ to reconcile everything to himself. To reconcile, the essential meaning of that word is to change from enmity to friendship, to change the relationship, the nature of the relationship. If we felt cold and distant toward God, God's intent is to change the nature of that relationship with him. To change that relationship in a profound way. And it says also to make peace with those who've been alienated with him. Verses 21 through 23 of this text talks about us being alienated from God or enemies of God. And God intends to change that whole animosity between us and God to one of a deep and abiding love. One old hymn that I have become kind of impressed with in this last week is a hymn called "Love Came Down at Christmas." It was written by Christina Georgina Rossetti, and it was written in 1830. I knew I recognized the name because I had a little prayer book. This is a book of prayers for 365 days of the year. And this book it's called Prayers Ancient and Modern. And it was written in 1907. So she was calling some of these modern, and some of them are truly ancient prayers. But what I've appreciated about her is a deep sense of who God was. She was a remarkable writer, poems, and then produced this collection of prayers. Here's what I'd like you to do. This is kind of a modern rendition of that old song, "When Love Came Down," to listen to it.
For sacred son. to God and to all men, love for heaven's gift and sign.
Love came down at Christmas, the whole of the love divine.
Love came down at Christmas,
so many angels came.
Wonderful message, I think, especially those last two lines. Love shall be our token, love be yours and love be mine, love to God and others, love for us as see, and a gift and sign. It points us again to the God love that is there for you and me, that somehow a right relationship with God can begin to affect a relationship that we have with someone else. That if we are okay, if we are in right relationship with God, then we can be in right relationship with others. This is so true in, we'll take a look here in 1 John in just a moment. But there's the idea that each Advent can be an advent of new beginnings if we are newly and freshly reconciled to God. God can begin to do his good and new work in us. Would you read with me this passage of Scripture? Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God, but if we love one another, God's love lives, and his love is made complete in us. So we look at the possibility of new beginnings. In Isaiah, where you find a lot of talk about this promised Messiah, this prophet, there's this one little passage of Scripture where God has been talking about what he's done in the past, how he saved Israel out of Egypt, how he set them free from bondage there, how he brought them through a great water by holding back the waters and allowing them to pass through the Red Sea. And just as he finishes that little story, he stops and he says these words. So would you read with me? See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I'm making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. So we learn something about God in this moment where he pauses. He's saying, it's true. I did all of these things. Well, all we could do is worship and say, this is a God of great power and a God who cares for his people and a God who of miracle. But he's saying, forget that. There's something I want for you now that I'm doing that's new. Advent always offers us the opportunity to experience something new, to experience God in a brand new way. He affirms in detail what he's been able to do, but he's saying, look for something new. Look for something abundant and fresh. I kind of like what the father said in the story, in the little drama. He said, things are going to be different now. It's a great drama. Things are going to be different now. So if you've had in your heart the sense that of estrangement toward God, things could be different. Maybe God's available to you this Advent season, even today in these moments, in a brand new and fresh way. If you just say, okay, I'm yours. This is a father who's great, who's done great things, but he doesn't want us to fixate on the past, about what God did do or maybe what God didn't do. There are times when we bring our own disappointments to God about what God didn't do. Here's a promise that God could be involved in your life in a fresh new way, a way of working for you. And what if that happened every Christmas? If we opened our lives up every Christmas to him doing that good and new and fresh work in us, or even every day. I'd like to go to another story. You remember, and read with me, and we'll see if you can remember the context. Jesus continued, there was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, give me my share of the estate. So he divided his property between them. Do you know the story? What's the story? The story of the prodigal son. Okay, so this is kind of where the story kicks off. We have this story of the son asking his father for his portion of his inheritance. And he takes that off into another country and just blows the whole thing. In that day, in that culture, it would have been a great insult to ask the parent for your inheritance. Would that be kind of an insult today? We kind of get that. We understand that. That would have been a horrid insult in that day. And yet, the son came back, hoping that he'd find some grace from the father. Now, in the story, what did the father do when he first saw him? What was that? He ran to him. So offended love could have walked around like this. Oh, there you are. He didn't do anything like that. He ran to him because he loved. I think that story, which is a wonderful story, tells us we can all come home. We can come home. This is God's father love for people. He found that he could take the initiative to move back home and knew he'd be provided for. I just love that picture of that father, even in the video, leaving his home and going out to meet family. The father in this parable initiated the healing of a fractured relationship in love. And I think if you have felt this Advent season a longing for God, that could be the initiative of God the Father working in your life. Somehow at times the Holy Spirit just reaches out to us and just makes us hungry for something more and something deeper. That could be the possibility this Advent season. We can still come home, and I'm so grateful for that. In Romans, there's a wonderful statement about repaired relationships. And I would say that, what if this year, this Advent season, is about the repairing and the healing of lingering wounds in your life? What if God really wants to touch and heal and make things new with you, with Him, and with others? Perhaps it would be simply receiving help from God to mend a relationship. It may be as simple as that, or taking a move toward God who's run toward you because of His love. There's not much that's beyond repair. We often give up, but there's not much that's beyond repair or not able to be fixed, especially in terms of our relationship with God. In the video, the Father says, "I love you." And what did the rest? No matter what. I just want to repeat that. Just keep thinking about that this week. Let's read together this first part of Romans chapter 8. And as we read, I'd like you to think with me. What thoughts or words come to your mind as you read them? A second way that we could process that is this. What emotions come to you, and what do you think it is in the text that evokes that emotion? What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also, along with Him, graciously give us all things? What thoughts or words come to mind as you hear that? Oh, war, being apart from each other? Mm-hmm. Yes. Who could be against us? Oh, yes. And the context here is certainly that Christians were being persecuted for their faith. It was tough to be a Christian, a follower of Christ in that time. Okay? Other words? A great sense of reassurance. What breathes that in the word? The whole thing. What more can He do? Great sense of reassurance. Others? Yes? Could you hear that over here? Sometimes when there's estrangement, that sense of estrangement weighs heavy on us. Do I have that right so far? And this helps us understand God's acceptance. Graciously given us all things. Let's take another step to the second question. What emotion does this evoke? Gratitude? Comfort? Love? Amazement. Let's go to the next part of this wonderful, wonderful passage. Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? Jesus Christ, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Thoughts? Thank you, Lord Jesus. It does make you want to worship. It makes you want to worship to hear that. Yes. Sets us free from the expectations of others. How important. We don't want to get on that roller coaster, do we? That is just a roller coaster. But if we can live for the praise of this one, then that's enough. What about emotions? What emotions arise?
Relief.
Let's read another section here. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. Thoughts? Reassurance that no matter what happens here on this earth, we are always going to be with God. What emotions does that evoke? Yes. The challenge would then be to draw close. To draw close in obedience and, what would you say, yield. To yield emotions that this evokes.
Peace.
Finish it up with these words. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Looked at thoughts and words that have come to mind and some of the emotions that this evokes. What if we could just take a moment here and offer up just short sentence prayers in our worship for what God is offering us in terms, you can see these are the benefits of a restored relationship. Once we're reconciled to him, we're his. And he is committed to us, to stand with us, to stay with us, whatever. Let's just pray. You're welcome to lead out in vocal prayer or just pray in your heart. Would you stand with me as we close? And I'll just pray our benediction. Thank you, Heavenly Father, this day that you are offering us the opportunity to draw close to you in fresh new ways. It's exciting to think about the possibility that some things in our lives could be freshly transformed by you being at work in them. I thank you, Heavenly Father, that you often see the space that's between us, and you know when it's gotten to the point that it's not good, that space. It's become too great. And yet in your love for us, you make us aware of that, that you draw us back to you. We thank you this Advent season for your Son Jesus, that he made that possible. So we pray, Heavenly Father, that you would come close to us. Holy Spirit, that you would meet with us wherever we are, whoever we are, whatever our past, whatever our present circumstances, no matter how broken we feel we are, come to us. We invite you into our lives. And we beg you to begin to work in ways that you see fit so that our lives can be made whole. Thank you that your love came down at Christmas. For that we are eternally grateful. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.